This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me try and repeat that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hayakum Allah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa bihi nasta'inu ala umuri dunya wa ad-deen. Wa al-aqibata lil-muttaqina wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimin. Wa sallallahumma wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah ta'ala, today is the first of a series of lectures that will all revolve around the family. And our families and our homes are extremely important to us. It is where we find our happiness, our rest, our tranquility. And not only that, my brothers and sisters, it is our homes that can potentially make or break our akhirah. It is our homes that can potentially make or break our akhirah. May Allah allow us to be among those that make it in akhirah and go to Jannah. Now, the title of the lecture that I was given was The Best Joy in the World, The Sacred Relationship of a Husband and Wife. Now, inshallah ta'ala, what I hope to talk about is that relationship. What does it mean to be husband and wife? And what does it mean to have a happy home? And what does it mean to be a successful home? And what we will be looking at, inshallah ta'ala, is of course where we always look towards when we want to find guidance. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we find when we read the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has created us in pairs, man and woman, male and female. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divine wisdom. And when He created us in pairs, He made us in need of each other's companionship. And that is the story of man. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Prophet Adam, Allah created from Adam, his wife, and our mother, Hawa. And when Allah mentions the reasons why he created her, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, so that he, Adam, finds tranquility in her, Hawa. A man needs a woman and a woman needs a man. And that's how it's always been and that's how it's always going to be. And there is something in that relationship that cannot be replicated elsewhere. There is something in that relationship between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife, that cannot be replicated or substituted with anything else. Your friends are your friends. Your siblings are your siblings. Your parents are your parents. And each one of these are important. And each one of these, there's a certain type of relationship and it adds to you. But none of them can be replicated or be a substitution for the relationship between a man and a woman. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us. We are in need of each other. We complement each other. And to be able to complement each other, to be able to be that source of happiness and joy for each other, we have to also look at the instruction manual that came with man and the woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, he didn't only just create us and tell us, khalas, that's it. But there's a lot of instructions that you will find through the Prophet Sunnah and through the Quran that explains to you what does the model Muslim household, and particularly I'm now talking about a relationship between a husband and a wife. Hopefully in further lectures there will be others, such as when children are involved and what are the rights of children and what does that look like in future talks and lectures. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us joy and happiness in our homes. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about the ayats that we read every Jumu'ah, and also the ayat that we read before a nikah is done. This is known as the khutbatul haja. يَا أَيَّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. This is read before every nikah. Before every new home is made, it is read. And there is hikmah in this. In it are wisdoms that will help you ensure that your home becomes one that is stable, joyful, and tranquil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with, اتقوا ربكم. Have fear of your Lord. اتقوا ربكم. Be conscious of Allah. My sister, my brother, if you want to be a model husband and a model wife, number one, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is your consciousness of Allah that will aid you in being upright. It will aid you in ensuring that you do not act out in anger. It will aid you in not being oppressive. It will aid you in not lying. It will aid you in so many things. Why? Because you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So immediately, if you're someone that is not conscious of Allah, if you're someone that does not fear Allah, then shaitan will enter your home and all of a sudden you'll see that you're just on a downward spiral. So taqwa, that's the key component. So what are the key components of a model household? Taqwa. Be pious. Work on your piety. And then Allah, among the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, this is, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Again, Allah mentions, be pious. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Indeed, Allah is watching you. So remember, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you and how you are dealing with your wife. My sister, Allah is watching you in how you are dealing with your husband. So understand that this is not a relationship that is only between two people. Never are you just two. Who's always there? Who's always watching? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear Allah. And the Prophet used to use this. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي نِسَائِكُمْ. Fear Allah regarding your wives. That's because this helps you ensure that you do not fall victim to your worst impulses and instincts. We all have bad impulses. What will aid you in not falling into that? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Then, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. How many is Allah repeating this? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Now, what you're saying. Be careful of how you speak. Watch your tone. Watch your statements. Oh Allah, if I watch my statements and if I watch how I speak and I say the best words and I act upon the verse, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, say to the people the best of speech. If Allah is telling you, say to the people on the outside the best of speech. What about your wife? What about your husband? If Allah is saying, if the Prophet is saying, أَلْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَ صَدَقَةً, a good word is a charity. This is even more so for the one that is the closest to you. Allah has promised us something if we do that. If we guard our tongue, if we guard our tongues and ensure that we say the best thing possible to our wives and our husbands. Allah says, if we do that, what happens? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah will rectify your actions. Allah will rectify your actions. Allah will rectify your marriage. Allah will rectify your salah. Allah will rectify your relationships. يُصْلِحْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغَفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. You will not be perfect. You will have shortcomings. Allah will forgive you for that. Guard your tongue. And this is just a muqaddim I wanted to give because these ayahs are recited before nikah. I felt it was appropriate that we recited here as well and kind of put us in the mindset. Remember, in the end of the day, marriage is an act of worship. Allah is watching you. So among the first steps, the ABCs of marriage is fear Allah regarding your spouse. Tayyib. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing a marriage, He gave us certain components of a marriage. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ. First Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And from Allah's signs, from the things that when you look at it, it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. He has created from you wives. Allah has created for you and from you wives, because Hawa came from Adam. Why, O Allah? And what was the purpose? وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. And Allah has put between you affection and love. Mawadda. Mawadda is a higher level of love. The English language is somewhat ta'ban compared to the Arabic language. You know, in the English language, you have love. And that's it. In the Arabic language, to describe love, there's at least 10 verbs. Each one, there's a different connotation. Mawadda is a type of love where you're willing to sacrifice everything for that person. It is a type of love where you're willing to do everything for that person. It is a type of love where you prioritize that person over yourself. Mawadda. Allah is promising us, when we are married, Allah places between you two, between husband and wife, mawadda. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ mawadda. Allah has put in between you mawadda. Now Allah putting it in between you does not mean it's going to last. It's a seed that will require watering. You'll have to work on it. It is a candle that can go out. But, alhamdulillah, Allah, the most merciful, has placed love between the couple. Is that it, ya Allah? No. Wa rahma and mercy. Mawadatan wa rahma. Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises these two things, mawadda and rahma. Before that, Allah mentions that there is also sakina. Litaskunu ilayha. Litaskunu ilayha. Why have I given you wives and partners? So that you may find tranquility and joy. A young man and a young woman, they don't really find that tranquility and stability in life until they get married. Once they get married, I'm settled. You know that way, I am settled, alhamdulillah. Right? I am settled, I am tranquil, and between us is love and mercy. Tayyib. In this ayah, something is not mentioned that is key for a marriage. And we have to ask ourselves, ya Allah, why did you not mention this? It's mentioned in the sunnah, it's mentioned in other places, and it's really important, but Allah did not mention it here. What is that? Rights and responsibilities. Isn't that really important in a marriage? Does the wife not have certain rights? Yes, she does. Does the husband not have rights? He does. Why did Allah not talk about the rights and the responsibilities? Because the rights and responsibility will be there automatically if you have mawadda and rahma. It doesn't have to be said. It goes without saying. This is why a tell sign that your marriage is rocky is that the whole thing becomes, I want my rights. You haven't given me my rights. This is your responsibility. Once you get there, and it becomes, let's take off the rights and the responsibilities and compare notes. You haven't done this, I haven't done that. And it becomes like a trade deal. Like a trade deal. This is not the model marriage. The model marriage is one where these things happen naturally and they are beautified. The rights are still there. Right? The husband is still providing. The wife is supporting, taking care of the children. She's doing hers. She's doing his. They are making themselves available for each other. everything is going fine, but it's coming from a place of love and mercy, not a place of, have you done your job today? No, you haven't. Have you given my rights? No, it's been 3 nights. It's not like that. It's not like that. That's not how it's supposed to be. Which is why, when you do go, let's say problems happen, and then a judge comes. When you get the faqih and the judge involved, he doesn't look at love and mercy. That's not his job. He's going to look at what? The finer details. It has been stipulated in the contract, X, Y, and Z. That's what he's going to look at. But your house should not be like that. It should be natural. It should be hub. It should be a relationship that is built on hub first. That you want to fulfill your responsibilities. You want to fulfill her rights and vice versa. Inshallah ta'ala, what I want to, inshallah ta'ala, go through here is, after reading a few more ayats in the Quran to kind of put in the mindset, I want to, inshallah ta'ala, go through some principles and that we can apply in our day-to-day life that will, inshallah ta'ala, aid us in elevating our homes to the way it should be based on the sunnah. Let's start with the dua. Allah teaches in the Quran that the ibadur rahman. The ibadur rahman are a praised category of people. In Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah talks about the kind of people that they are. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah mentions many characteristics of these people. May Allah make us among them. Say Ameen. Among them is Subhanallah. You know, this has become a regular occurrence. I think every class that I do, there is one interruption. I'm nothing against you, but brothers, please be careful in how you park, inshallah. This is, I don't know what type of car it is, but the license plate is it's a Jaguar MK12. My brother or sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. Brothers, just be mindful, right? As Muslims, we try our best to not inconvenience other people. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَنَا جَمِيعًا. Where was I? The ibadur rahman, the dua. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, and they are also those that say, هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Oh Allah, grant us, regarding our children and wives, make them what? Into the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, make our wives or our spouses, vice versa, that when we look upon them, they fill us with happiness and joy, and they become the coolness of our eyes. Not just our wife, but also our children. This, the ibadur rahman, make this dua. What are you being taught here? Number one, aim for that. Aim to get to a level in your relationship when you look upon your wife, you are happy. When she looks upon her, when you look on your husband, you are happy. He fills you with joy and you fill him with joy. And not only that, your children as well. And make that dua. Find that in Surah Al-Furqan and make that dua. Tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the element of love here is important, by the way. We already mentioned love when Allah was describing the household, right? Mawaddatan wa rahmah, love and mercy. When Allah was describing the hurul ain and jannah, Allah called them uruban atraba. Now this is really important, brothers. You have to pay attention, and my sisters as well. Pay attention to this. When Allah was describing the woman folk in jannah, the wives in jannah, and that includes the faithful, righteous sisters that lived in dunya, that when they die, they go to jannah, they will be uruban atraba. Uruban means what? Extremely affectionate and loving. Extremely affectionate and loving. In other words, my brothers and my sisters, it's important that we exhibit affection and love in our marriage. And it doesn't become something that you shy away from, but something that you actively practice. You try your best. And we will look at the sunnah of the Prophet, we will look at the Sahaba, and you will see them doing that, putting the work in. This is not something that you shy. This is something you do. Remember, you have to water the plant of love. Allah already gave you the seed. Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah put between you مَوَدَّةً الرَّحْمَةً. But that Allah has placed between you, you need to put the work in. And you need to try and emulate. When Allah described the woman folk in Jannah, they are عُرُبًا. Meaning, they make themselves very affectionate to their husbands. If that's what Allah has prepared for you in Jannah. My sisters, if that is the woman from Jannah, then that is what you need to aim for. And the same goes for our brothers as well. There is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ described the greatest joy in this world is a righteous woman. The Prophet described it is the one that when you look at her, makes you happy. The one that when you look at her, makes you happy. And she's also the one that when you are away from her, she guards herself and she guards her husband's wealth. So we have to remember that, my brothers and sisters. طيب, the first, thing that will aid your marriage is التفاهم, to truly understand each other. This is so important. Ask yourself this question: how well do I understand my spouse? And what does it mean to understand your spouse? It means that you know their strengths, their weaknesses, that you know their desires, their wishes, their hopes, and you know what they want from you, you know what they hope, you know what they like, you know what they're good at, and then you use that information. And that will only come, my brothers and sisters, through communication. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew his wives. He knew, I'll give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day said to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, I know when you're upset with me. Subhanallah, she's upset with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Prophet of Allah. But it shows you that he is our Prophet and he is also her Prophet, but he's also her husband. And what that tells you is it's very natural that two people that are married will sometimes make each other what? Upset. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know when you're upset with me. And she said, how do you know this, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, when you're upset with me, when you want to swear by Allah, you say by the Lord of Ibrahim, wa Rabba Ibrahim. But when you're happy with me, you say, wa Rabba Muhammad. Right? How did she say to the Prophet one day, by the way, when I'm upset, I do this or that? Or was he being observant? He was being observant. From this, the lesson you learn, number one, is be observant of your spouse. What is it that angers them? And if, for example, your wife doesn't like certain things, maybe you leave the dishes somewhere and she asks you to put it in the dishwasher. Maybe this is what she... You know this. If you know this, then why are you adding fuel to the fire Shaitan wants to lit? Think about this. Right now, each one of us, especially I'm talking to the brothers now, each one of us, I know you know, because I know certain things that will annoy my wife. I know this. Part of being someone that understands their other half is to know these are the things they don't like. These are things they don't like to hear. Then don't do those things. Get them off the table. Work on yourself, and that's how you work on your marriage. My sister, the same thing goes for you as well. Tafahum does not only mean, my brothers and sisters, that we understand each other in relation to what really bothers us, but also what we love and what we enjoy. What is it that she likes? What is it that your husband likes? Maybe your husband, when he comes to work, he likes to come home to a certain situation. How often are you creating that situation? Right? How often, my sister, are you creating a situation that your husband, you know what he likes? Something as small as the food he likes. Something as small as the fragrance she likes. Making sacrifices. Knowing what your spouse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would do this often. He would know what his spouse is, and each person is different. Each person is different. One of the benefits of tafahum is also to understand each other's values. What are some of the things that for you are red that you can't accept? Communicate that early on. And my sisters and my brothers, communicate and ask each other, what are some of the things that cannot happen? And then you know what angers them and you know what makes them happy. You know what they like, you know what they don't like. This information, if you don't know this and you've been married for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, then what are you doing, my sister? What are you doing, my brother? This is extremely important in understanding each other. Understanding each other's weaknesses and then supplementing that. For example, it could be that one sister, Qadar Allah, she is not good at cooking. My brother, why did you marry her? Astaghfirullah, no. This is not fair. This is not fair. But look, maybe she's not good at cooking. And that's her weakness. Okay? Or maybe the husband, the man, he's not an expressive person. That's his weakness. Now, are you meant to forever have that weakness or work on it? You're meant to work on it. You're meant to work on it. But at the same time, when you know your spouse is not particularly good at this aspect, what are you meant to do? Have extra sabr. You already know this. You already know this, so you increase the sabr a little bit. I know that you're not good at this. And you increase the forgiveness and the sabr in that regard. Because we are human beings, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. My sister, when your husband married you, what part of why he married you is so that you can compliment him and his weaknesses, and he's meant to compliment you and your weaknesses. When Allah described us, Allah says, "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun." you are like garments to each other. What do garments do? What do our clothes do? Number one, they protect us from the elements. If it's hot, if it's too hot, or if it's too cold, clothes protect you. That's what the relationship should be like. One where we conceal and protect each other, support each other. What else do garments do? They beautify you. So this relationship should beautify you. That means if you have flaws in your character, that your spouse is there to uplift you and vice versa. So it's important that my sister and my brother, you understand your spouse. You understand her weaknesses and her strengths, her flaws, her character, everything. Part of understanding, I was going to keep this until the end of the lecture, but I'll bring it in now. Part of understanding each other is to understand how we express to each other that we love each other. Because people do not express that the same way. Now, what is the most common way to express the love to each other? Is to say it. It's a verbal expression, right? Now, is that the only way? No, it's not. And some people, it's difficult for them, or they don't do it often, or it means not much to them. There are different people, and they respond, they express, some call it languages. The way they express hub and mawadda is different. It may be that you married a woman, and she expresses her love to you through acts of service. She's cooking, and she's cleaning, and she's doing all of these things, and that's how she shows you that she loves you. But you're the kind of person that needs to hear it. You need to hear, Jazakallah khair for working all day. You need to hear, thank you for being a good husband. You need to hear, but maybe that's not her. And then what happens? You're like, this woman, something's wrong with her. Something's wrong with her. She never thanks me. And she's been hoovering all day and cleaning all day. And her mind, she's saying, Allah, he's the guy. I love him. But she's thinking through her actions. But you don't know that because you don't know how she expresses it. And my sister, you have no idea that he's starting to feel some turmoil because he doesn't see what you're doing, because he thinks that's just you fulfilling a right. He wants to hear it. And wallahi, as people are different. It's fascinating when you speak to people, the way we receive love and the way we express it. Some people, they want a physical touch, a hug, a kiss. This is what they want. And then maybe that's not how you express. So the husband comes in, and you know what he does? He thinks to himself, you know what, let me unload the dishwasher. She was working all day. You know what, I'll put the kids to bed. He's doing acts of service. What does she want? She wants a kiss on the forehead. Or she wants maybe a reminder that he loves her. Maybe she wants gifts. So, how can you solve that? By communicating. Asking, what is it the best way? When do you feel the most loved? When you do this, when you do that. And then you realize that, my brother, get a pen and paper, do your homework, understand, and then express that. Wallahi, that's how you water the seed that Allah already planted between you, which is hub and love. And at the same time, look towards how your spouse is expressing. Because if someone, one of the ways that our sisters don't appreciate is the husband that's working all day, spending all day, that's his way of expressing that he cares and loves for you. And you should appreciate that. And also, same goes for the brothers as well, that although it's important to understand each other's love languages, if you will, it's just as important to appreciate if the person has a way of expressing it. It may be not the way you would like, but still appreciate it. This aids, inshallah ta'ala, in adding hub and to the home. Another point that I want to share, my brothers and sisters, is it's extremely important that we forgive each other a lot. You will transgress upon each other, no doubt. You will not fulfill each other's rights all the time, no doubt. And when that happens, it is of the utmost important that you have a heavy dose of forgiveness in your home. Let things go. Every single ayah and every single hadith that talks about brotherhood in Islam, every single hadith that encourages us to pardon each other, to forgive each other, it is actually also applied to the home. Often when we hear this, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, the brothers, indeed the believers are all brothers, and rectify, you think the brothers, you're thinking outside the house. Your wife is number one, your husband is number one. When you hear the ayat of forgive each other, let go, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, do you not want Allah to forgive you? Your wife and your husband comes first. All of these ayats that you see, when Allah says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, say to the people the best speech, your wife and your husband comes first. It's important that we understand that when it comes to forgiving and overlooking, this is something that is extremely important. Don't focus on the details. Don't focus on the details, my brothers and sisters, because if you start looking towards the details, you're going to see a number of flaws. You spend a lot of time with each other. At least I hope so. You spend a lot of time with each other. And when people spend a lot of time with each other, this actually happens with co-workers as well. It happens with co-workers. It happens with wives. It happens with roommates. But you spend a lot of time with each other. It's not the same as when you meet some friends outside. And sometimes what happens is you go out with your friends or you spend some time with your friends and it's all banter and joy and happiness and relaxation and you're talking about whatever is happening in the world and you're having a good time. And when you come home, that's not the case. Because what's happening is that when you're with your friends, it's just about that. And you actually don't spend a lot of time together. But when you see each other every day, you start to notice the little flaws. You started to notice, oh, okay, slippers here. Oh, okay, this has never happened. I've asked you a few times. You forgot this, you forgot that. And you start laser focusing on the details. This will slowly eat away at your marriage. What do you want? You want to do the act of taghaful. What is taghaful? You overlook many of the things. You overlook many of the things. Try your best to overlook them. Because did you marry a perfect person? Wallahi, you didn't. And it's important that if you make everything an issue, then that will start to erode the foundation of the marriage. Don't make everything an issue. Let certain things go. Maybe, and this, inshallah ta'ala, with this forgiveness, Allah will shower you with more mercy. So the point that I want to share is, you need a heavy dose of, and if you did the first one, what was the first one? Understanding each other. When you already understand the person's flaws, their weaknesses, their strengths, how they express love, where they need to work on, and if all of this, then it's going to be easier for you to let things go because you know, okay, this is the weakness, I understand, I'll have more sabr. This is very important. We also need to understand as families that, and this is important, this is an Islamic principle generally speaking, right? How often in Islam do we focus on the individual? More, not a lot. Often we look at each other as community, we pray together, we start our Ramadan together, we pray Eid together. We are looked at as we, the Muslim community. The Prophet taught us, if one of us is in harm's way, then we all should be feeling the same pain. The famous hadith, right? If one of the part of the ummah is hurting, we are all what? Up in fever and pain. This empathy needs to be in the home as well. What that means is that we consider ourselves as we, not I. It's not your home, my brother, and it's not your home, my sister. It's not your car, and it's not her car. You have to have the language of we. We need to do this. We need to improve. We need to worship. We be a team. Be a team. And remember, you can only be a team. You can only be a team if there is something that is uniting you. And that has already been established. Before you even came together, you had a goal in mind. Each one of us here, my brothers and sisters, each one of us here, we have a goal. What is our ultimate goal? What is our ultimate goal, my brothers? Jannah and the pleasure of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you came into this marriage with that goal in mind. You both need to be working towards that goal. You both need to be working towards that goal. And that means now, what is the point of being a unit if you're not going to behave like one? So we, the married couple, have to work towards our goals in deen and dunya. We have to save. We have to move. We have to plan hijrah. For example, we have to. This helps ensure that you are a unit rather than I. It's important that you see each other. Because look, is divorce halal? Yes. Do you want to end up there? No. The more you see each other as one unit, and when children come, all of you are one unit, and with parents, this inshallah ta'ala, it aids in the stability of the marriage. It's a small thing, but wallahi, actually it's a big thing. My brothers and sisters, among the things that you need to focus on that will aid you in having a good and strong marriage is good speech. It's good speech. This, remember we said Allah plants the seed of love in the marriage before it's even made. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. The Prophet also taught us certain things that will aid in ensuring that love continues. يقول النبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام, our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تهادو تهابو, for example. Two words, hadith. One of the easiest hadiths to memorize. تهادو تهابو. Give each other gifts and you will love each other. Give each other gifts and you will love one another. So, immediately, an action plan for both of you is to start regularly giving each other gifts. It doesn't have to be something big. It could be something small. And each one of us appreciates gifts. Some more than others, no doubt. Some more than others, but each one of, when was the last time, my sister, you brought a gift to your husband? When was the last time, my brother, that you brought a gift for your wife? And it could be something creative. It could be something expensive. It could be something cheap. It doesn't matter. It's a thought that counts. Get into the habit. Tahadu, tahabu. This is an instruction of your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one. And also, and this is the point I was trying to make, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, right? الْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the importance of giving each other salam, and that will increase the love. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you will go to Jannah until you believe. And none of you will believe until you love one another. Shall I show you something? If you do, you will love one another? Yes, O Prophet of Allah. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salam and the greeting. Now I want you to think about this. The Prophet is promising us that if we spread the salam, we will love each other. And if we love each other, we will believe. And if we believe, we will go to Jannah. Apply this every hadith and every ayah that you see that's applying on brotherhood and spreading of love also applies to your home. So when you come into your home, give salam. Now here, there's something I want to highlight. What happened to us is we almost took away, as Muslims, and this is, everyone's guilty of this, we removed the meaning of salamu alaykum from salamu alaykum. What does salamu alaykum mean? What does it mean, brothers? Does it mean hello? Does it mean hello? But isn't it, that's how, isn't it true that that's how we, salamu alaykum, wa alaykum salam, hello, hi. That's how we treat it. But what does salamu alaykum actually mean? May peace be upon you. What does rahmatullah mean? And the mercy of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to think about this, right? Someone comes to you and says to you, Akhi, may the peace of Allah be upon you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show you mercy. Oh, jazakallah khair, man. But you feel different all of a sudden. Someone makes dua for you. Isn't that true? Imagine you leave the masjid, you see someone. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. If you think of the meaning, how many times a day are people asking Allah, our creator, to shower you with mercy? And it's meant to be a dua. But when is dua not a dua? When you don't think of it as a dua. When is dua not a dua? When you don't think of it as a dua. Do you think that when you give people salam, you're making dua for them? Raise your hands if that doesn't cross your mind. And let's be fair. Raise your hand that it doesn't cross your mind that you're making dua. It happens to all of us. My brothers, ittaqillah. Imagine you change that now. Because wallahi, look at the Prophet's statement. Spread salam. What he means by that is, spread the making of dua for each other sincerely, regularly, when you see each other, and that will ensure that you love each other. Does it make more sense now? I remember someone said, Shaykh, assalamu alaikum, we say it every time, I don't see no love increasing. That's because you're just saying it, ya akhi. You're just saying it. So now what I want as an action for all of you is, allow the meaning of salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, allow that to be at the forefront of your mind when you're giving salam, number one. Number two, the spirit of it is to make dua for each other and to shower each other with prayers and dua, and do that when you see your spouse. You are beautiful, may Allah make you more beautiful. You're raising my children for me, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you. Make dua for each other. Do it in front of her. My sister, make dua for your husband. You provide for us. May Allah bless your wealth for us. May we both go to Jannah together. It's extremely important that. And also, of course, the regular salam as well. The sunnah of salam. Another one, my brothers and sisters, is quality time. I find it fascinating. You know, if you look at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married 11 times. And he had 9 wives at one point. 9 wives at one point. When he prays Fajr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would spend some time with Sahaba, he would teach them, he would speak to them. And then he would take some time and he would visit each one of his wives and spend time with them. He is not a normal, regular person like we are. He is the Prophet of Allah. He has the responsibility of the entire ummah on his shoulders. He was a governor, he was a teacher, he was a prophet, he was a spiritual leader, he was the imam, he was everything. The whole community is waiting for him. Yet, he was willing to spend time and sit with his wives and talk with them and talk to them about trivial stuff sometimes. He had sabr with them and he spent time. Look, you will never be as busy or as important as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter how much of a career you think you have, my brother, wallahi, you're not. And I want you to think about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example is when the Habasha, the Abyssinians, they came and they were interestingly enough, they were playing their Olympic type games in the masjid, throwing spears and acrobatics in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba gathered around them and they were watching. Right? The Sahaba gathered and they were watching. Where is this happening? In the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that it was only the Sahaba that could see this. And the Prophet's home, his house, was adjacent to the masjid. And there was a door you could enter from. The Prophet ﷺ walked to his door, he opened it, and he allowed his wife Aisha to also view. And when the Prophet walked to the door, of course, people will disperse so that he can have a line of sight to what's happening. And then Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother Aisha, she said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he allowed me, he took his cloak and covered me with it, and he allowed me to look at the plays that were happening in the masjid. And she said, I had to tiptoe, and I put my neck, my chin on his shoulder, and I was watching. And then she said, at some point, I got tired of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy. She said, I got tired of it, but I wanted to see how long the Prophet would stand for me. So I continued watching. And wallahi, he did not move. He let me continue. He's the Prophet of Allah. But he's willing to ensure there is some quality time and some fun and some relaxation is with his spouse, his wife. The same thing goes for us, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter, my brother. Yes, you have responsibilities. You have bills to pay. You have meetings. Yes, you have important matters. But make the time for your spouse. Make the time for your spouse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seen racing with his wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seen stopping a whole caravan that was traveling. You know the camels. This is a very interesting thing about camels. You know when you sing for camels, they travel faster. There's a certain type of singing that Bedouin do for the camels. And when they do, they travel faster. And then there was a particular, as they were traveling, the Prophet's wife Safiya was there with them. And hers was slow. And they keep speeding up and she can't keep up. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to the man that was singing, he said, Rifqan bil qawarir. And then he was seen with Safiya as he was wiping her tears away because she got upset. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very affectionate, right? And there is no one more masculine and no one more compassionate than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one time where he kneeled for some of his wives to climb. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kneeling and then one of his wives or mothers is stepping on his thigh to go and climb her mount, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This, my brothers, is again, it is this type of affection that we need to have a lot more in our homes. Take lead from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how he was behaving and behave similarly. Another thing that will aid in increasing the love in our homes is al-ibadah al-jama'iyyah, to worship Allah together. To worship Allah together. My brothers and my sisters, as husbands and wives, we have to worship Allah together. And we have to encourage to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So next time that you're planning on giving sadaqah, involve your husband, involve your wife, do it together. Make it a group effort. Pick days that you fast and make iftar together. Fast together, break fast together, pray together, wake each other for qiyam. It is that ibadah that if you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your home even more. So among the key components of a blessed and a sacred home is lots of ibadah that is being done from both sides. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for the woman. The Prophet made dua for the spouse and the woman that wakes up at night to worship Allah and pray, and wakes her husband up. And when he refuses, she puts water on his face to make sure that he gets up and prays. Why is she doing this? Because she wants Jannah for him. And Allah, the Prophet made dua for the man, does the same as well. So, among the key components, my brothers and sisters, is making dua for each other and making it often. Another one, my brothers and sisters, is that we need to look at is that we understand the rules and the laws of marriage. There are certain rights and responsibilities. I haven't really stressed them until now. And often when we are talking about marriage, we talk about them. These are the rights and these are responsibilities. Why have I not spoken about them until now? Because if you do everything else, if your tone is right, if you're talking in the best way possible, if you're forgiving each other, if you're overlooking the flaws, if you're understanding each other, if you're worshiping together, if you are spending quality time together, if you're giving each other gifts, if you're doing all of this, then I guarantee you the rights and responsibilities will also be fulfilled. But let's highlight the rights and responsibilities, because of course they do have their importance. It is the right of the wife to be provided for. And provision means that she's provided for when it comes to what they are. Eating and drinking and of course spending on them, and also where they live. So where your wife lives and what money she uses for her day-to-day is the responsibility of the husband. Provision is the responsibility of the husband. What if she works? Does that mean you have to pay her less? What if she owns a business? Does that mean you spend on her less? What if she inherited a lot of money from her family? Does that mean you spend on her less? And how is that done? First of all, the spending on the spouse is a responsibility of the husband and a right of the wife. That being said, and this is very important to understand, my sisters and my brothers, often what happens is we have the rights very clearly spelled out. Those rights are then, the details of those rights are looked at, we look into the culture of the community to understand the details. What do I mean by this? For example, the Sharia said the man has to spend on his wife. That's part of the deen. Is that negotiable? It's not negotiable. As in, it's not negotiable as a right, right? Then, how much does he spend? Is how much that the man spends on his wife in Indonesia going to be the same as in London? Is that going to be the same? Is it a standard? It is not. So how do we determine how much should the husband be putting into his wife's home and how much should he be spending on her? How do we determine that? And where do we find that standard? It goes back to the custom and the culture. So whatever customarily a husband gives to his wife in Indonesia, that's what the husband has to give a wife when he's in Indonesia. And that will be different from in here, it will be different in Africa, it will be different everywhere. Does that make sense? So, in other words, you have the right here, then you have how do we find the details of how that is done? You look at what? At the culture. Then there's a third layer, and that third layer is the home and the couple themselves, what they agree upon. What does that mean? So let's say there is a couple, and they live in London. And normally in London, a woman that is married, she gets X, Y, and Z. And right, and that's everyone that is of similar age and of similar status and of similar background. This is what they're getting, right? And once that is determined, that's her right. So far, so good. Then if they negotiate something different between themselves and said, you know what? I know this is my right. I know this is what you have to do. But because I work, or because I have this amount of money, or because of this, that, or the other, I don't need this. I don't need you to do this. Or I need more. And maybe the husband can afford more. This negotiation happens in a vacuum where the couple are in. And each home will be different. And that's perfectly fine. Does that make sense? So there's three layers. There's the right that is written in our deen. There is the details that is understood in the custom, and then there is what the couple agree upon themselves. Is that clear? That is how we have to understand a lot of these things. But going back to that initial right, the man has to spend on his wife. Of course, he has to also give her a dowry. Right before the marriage, he has to give her a dowry. That dowry can be paid in installments. It can be paid later. She can forgive it. All of these are things that are looked at. So spending. Also, the right of leadership. We cannot have two drivers for a car. And the leadership of the household is a burden given to the man. And this is also when Allah says, الرجال قوامون على النساء. My sisters, the leadership of the household has been burdened and given to the man. And this has to mean something. This means that you are able to follow lead. And each one of us, men and women, in life are put in situations where we have to follow the lead of someone else. 5 times a day, we are led by someone else regarding our what? Our salah. And for the salah to look as amazing and beautiful and majestic and organized as it is, we have to follow what? One leader. When we enter into work and clock in, there is a supervisor, there is a leader. Is your supervisor better than you? No. Does the fact that he has that responsibility mean that he's automatically better? No. Often he has more stress. Often he's as much as he's burdened with responsibility, it also comes with a lot of problems and issues. The responsibility of leading the household has been given to the man. And that means, my brothers and sisters, my brothers, take that responsibility. Be the leader Allah wants you to be. My sisters, as wives, understand that role and be as supportive. How many of you here, I'm assuming a lot of you work, and even for my sisters and our brothers, you've managed teams, you managed people. Wallahi, if they're not working with you, you can't do your job. And everything falls apart. And you know, as much as we need to learn what it means to be leaders and lead by example, it also means we need to learn what it means to be a follower. What it means to empower someone and aid someone to fulfill their responsibilities. The right of leadership, the responsibility of leadership is given to the man. That's a responsibility. Allah says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save your children and your spouses, your wives from the fire. Whose responsibility is that? It's the husband. The responsibility of providing, taking care, all of that falls on the husband. Now, that with that responsibility of leadership comes the right of obedience. Now, this is not something that must be abused. And a lot of our sisters will say, Sheikh, the moment you say to the guys that they have to be obeyed, they're going to abuse this, right? And this is, of course, if you need to abuse that, you haven't understood the first part of the lecture. Go back and watch the first part of the lecture. But yes, just like sometimes someone needs to have the final say, someone needs to be in charge of the household, and that is a responsibility given to the husbands, and that is our deen, and there is nothing wrong with that. Another thing is, and this is very important to appreciate and understand, is that leadership and responsibility from purely an Islamic perspective is not just seen as an honor, it is also seen as a burden. And as Muslims, we, when it comes to our women folk, our priority is to unburden them, not to burden them. If that makes sense. We don't want to send you to the front lines. We don't want to send you to war. We don't want you to be distressing with big decisions or major decisions that will have consequences. This is something that we like to unburden you from. And wallahi, it's also something that is many men have been unburdened from, because this is why not all of us will be put in positions to lead the community. That's for the very select few. And those select few, may Allah aid them. This is why the Prophet ﷺ used to say, and this is something to be understood, the Prophet used to say, don't ask for leadership. Don't look to be leading the community. Don't campaign for it. In fact, anyone that campaigns for it, the Prophet said, don't give it to them. Who can tell me why? Why should we not give it to the one that's campaigning for it? Because that's also already a character flaw. I'm the sheikh. I'm the leader. I'm going to be in charge. That's already a character flaw. Khair inshallah. So, rights, responsibility of the man, provision. Second responsibility of the man, leadership. Another responsibility of the man is husnul mu'asharah, to live with them in the best way possible. Allah says, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. Of course, another responsibility is to fulfill the right of intimacy. The right of intimacy and physical intimacy is what, that one goes both ways. It goes both ways, and each one has to fill the other's rights. Yet the Sharia and the Deen emphasized the man's right more than the woman. Why is that? Because Allah knows and Allah created us, and it is often the man that is asking more than the woman. And this is something that Allah has created us this way, and subhanAllah. But does that mean that the woman does not have, they both have a right? So when it comes to the physical aspect of it, this is a right for both and a responsibility for both. A right for both and a responsibility for both as well. Another responsibility and upon them is that they do not reveal that which happens in the household. What are you to each other again? Did Allah say? What is the example? You are what to each other? Garments. You are garments to each other. If your thobe, your jacket, your hijab is revealing what's inside, it's not doing its job. And if your husband is revealing what's happening in the home, he's not doing his job. If the wife is revealing that which is happening in the home, she's not doing a job. And often, it is through something that happened in the home that has been spread outside that brings about problems and mashakil. So, guard each other's privacy. This is a right that you have for each other as well. So, these rights have to be preserved and protected. These rights have to be preserved and protected, my brothers and my sisters. The wife has a right to be provided for. She has a right to be lived with in kindness. She has a right for a home and a dwelling. She has a right to be honored. She has a right for love and intimacy. All of these are her rights. And the husband has a right for his leadership to be respected. He has a right for intimacy. He has a right to be treated kindly. And he has a right to, and both of them have a right to be given that which customarily, where they are, is given to each other, which will change from place to place and time to time. That's another thing they have to keep in mind. You have to actually look at what does a normal house, Muslim household in our area have, because that will also change from one place to one place. One of the mistakes that we do sometimes is we look at somewhere far away back home, and we want the way that a couple and a marriage is there to, then this has to be exactly like that. No. Cultures change, and when they change, we have to have some level of flexibility that comes with that. Is that clear, everyone? Right? A couple in Saudi will not live the same way than a couple in Nigeria or a couple in Bangladesh or a couple in London. There are certain things they will all have in common that's in our deen. But when it comes to the custom, these things change. And when they change, you have to be flexible with them as well. Does that make sense, everybody? Let me quickly recap. The first thing I said when I started the talk was, if we want happy homes, we need piety and taqwa. اتقوا الله في نسائكم. Fear Allah regarding your womenfolk, Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O mankind, fear your Lord. If you don't have taqwa, you won't be able to fulfill many of the commandments that I shared today. Fear Allah regarding your spouse, my sister. Fear Allah regarding your spouse, my brother. Two, when it comes to rights and responsibilities, before we get to them, ensure there's a heavy dose of love and mercy in your home. And there are certain things that will help that love and mercy to grow. That love and mercy that is growing, that seed was planted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah has placed in between you love and mercy. That love and mercy then will be developed through actions. Repeated actions and work. What are those repeated actions and work? We mentioned number one is to understand each other. Understand each other's flaws. Understand each other's quirks, understand each other's what angers them, what makes them happy, and then what do? If certain things make your wife upset, you stop doing them less. If certain thing makes them happy, you start doing it more. Now, each one of us can do this. Wallahi, it's not hard. Each one of us can do this. Then among the things is that we also understand how we love to receive hub and love and how we express it. Ask yourself this question, is my spouse one that loves acts of service more? If that's the case, next time I'm home, I'm going to do something around the house and that will show her that I love her. Or is she one that loves gifts more? Let me go and buy some gifts. Or maybe words of affirmation and appreciation, then I'll do that. Or whatever it is. And my sisters, ask yourself the same thing. What is it that my husband loves to see from me? And you do that. And my sister, remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that the best woman is the one when her husband looks upon her, he gets happy. Become that woman, and Allah will love you more. Tayyib. Then we mentioned that you also look at your speech and you spread salam, you spread love, you make dua for each other, and you say the best words. The Prophet had a nickname for his wife. He had a pet name for her. Do the same. Why not? Why not? Right? Change your tone for one night and you'll see a lot of things will change. Inshallah, more sparks will fly. Gifts and changing your tone, more rahmah. Especially, I want to share an ayah. This ayah, I should have shared it. This ayah is not about the spouses, but it's about general relationships. But what did I say? Every hadith and ayah that talks about strengthening relationships and bonds between brothers that mention the Quran and Sunnah is applicable what? To the home as well. Every time you have a hadith that talks about do this and we will love each other as a community, it applies to the home first. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the one that wrongs you, you do itfa' billatihi ahsan, that you respond with that which is better. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ إِشْ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. When someone wrongs you, respond with that which is better. And when you do that, it is as if the one
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
We'll conclude here.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Everyone, if you just go to the house, and after that, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد